But they're learning, and we're having Bible school August 12th, 13th, 14th, so don't forget that. And the next thing you know, it's going to be on, boy, September, October camp meeting, and we're excited about it. So don't forget that now. Be here Wednesday night, Saturday morning, go and visit at 9:30. It pays off. There's people here tonight just because we went visiting on Saturday. I had one of our bus parents here this morning. I introduced all of our guests here tonight. Miles, raise your hand. Over. Miles and Christina, raise your hand. We visited them on Saturday, and here they are. This has been the second or third time they've come. So it works. It works. It works. And so come and go with us Saturday morning, 9:30. Okay?
Amen. They sung a song at camp. It says it's under the blood. When I say they, I mean that group from Alabama. But we're going to kind of try it. We've never done it, but it just blessed my heart, you know. And think about how the devil comes and the devil will come and accuse you. But thank God you can look at him and tell him it's under the blood. Amen.
Then I'd gone and heart of God.
I can feel the call.
Hallelujah.
And hear the reason why.
I said I know a peacemaker in me.
There's
good
never
time.
Been
good time. Good time. Never
another man.
The power of this man. Come on.
With the power of
this
man.
Yeah, come on. This man.
That's the girl on visitation. By simply saying,
come on. Come on, Christian.
Peace be still.
Mamas and daddies. Let's
oh,
get
can
with
calm
God.
The
Let's
strongest
get
with
God
wind.
Oh,
that's why I never worry.
Oh,
when the storms come my way, I know that He'll be here to drive away my fears.
Maybe you have
a problem. So I can smile and say,
get in this altar and get it right. Come on, let's sing.
Never been another man.
That's right. Ain't never been another man.
With the power of this friend.
Yep. Come on.
By
simply
saying, peace be still.
What an answer to prayer there.
He can calm
the strongest
wind.
Just knock on the door
one
more. What a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah.
That's why I never worry. Those storms come my way. I know that He'll be here to drive away my fear, so I can smile and say,
what a blessing! What a blessing!
Let them kids sing along right quick, Carrie. Stay up here, Brother Jason. Bring them up here right quick.
Let a kid sing one. Come on, kids. All of our Wednesday night Bible kids. Class, Bible class. Young'uns, young'uns. Bring them up here. They got a song for you tonight. I know it'll be a blessing to you. And they're going to sing one for you this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Where's the rest of them at? We got a lot of some of them's gone tonight. They're going to be a blessing to you. Amen. This is a shining light, Junior, a little tiny choir. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Amen. Well, y'all been on a boat all day, Dax. Amen. They've been out on the lake. Amen. All right. There he is right here. Here's our singer. And they're going to sing for us. What's the name of this song? I believe. Amen. All right. Good singing, ain't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Good singing. All right. Everybody find your seat now. Everybody find your seat. Settle down. Sure is good to have a preacher visiting with us tonight. Him and his wife from way out in Texas. And they come all the way from Texas on their way to the National Sword of the Lord Conference down in Winston-Salem and down at Walkertown Baptist Church. And I just met this brother. We got a letter from him here a while back. Come on up here and tell us who you are and introduce you and your wife, brother, and tell us what's going on.
Amen. Well, I'm just a poor old Baptist preacher from Sims, Texas, and me and my wife of 24 years have never been on a vacation, and we finally got to go, just me and her, and we decided we'd go to a sword conference. Prayed about it, didn't have the money, didn't even have a car we thought would be fit. And I prayed, and I said, now, Lord, I was a welder, and I can make some good money and go back to welding and preach if you want me to. But if you want me to keep on preaching full-time, I need a car, and I need a little bit of money to go to the sword conference on. And I sure would like to stop by and see Brother Danny Castle's church on the way. And so the Lord bought us a car, and the feller gave us a car, put $1,000 in the glove box. And that's why we're here. I've been praying. I said, Lord, I want you to do things that even surprise me.
Yeah.
And for me to get to stand here tonight in a great man of God's church like this, and I know it's the Lord's church, but listen, there ain't a bunch of Danny Castles all over the United States. And I hope you know what you got, because he has been blessing us. We got a lot of young people in our church, and they got to watching YouTube and stuff like that, and saw the Pony Express, and then we got a DVD about it, and man, I watched it and had a time with it, and we've been sharing that. And of course now it's, hey, did you see this, or did you hear this sermon or that sermon? Brother Derek, whoever Brother Derek is, preached on Samson, and boy, we enjoyed that. So listen, y'all are our kind of people, and we're just so grateful. My wife there, Kim, and she's put up with a lot out of me over the years, and y'all know, y'all pray for preachers' wives, they got it tough. Brother Danny, boy, we love y'all, and so glad you're here, and so glad this church is here, and we're just so privileged to be here tonight. God bless y'all. Y'all pray for us.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. Well, he's just on his way down to Winston-Salem, and they'll be having the National Sword Conference down there. And I used to go down there a long time ago when Jack Hiles was alive. What a blessing to have them with us tonight. All right. I ain't talk to you for a minute. I'm going to do something tonight I have never done exactly like this. I'm going to need you to give me your attention. My subject tonight is very, very, very... some things I'm going to say is going to be very controversial. Some of the things I'm going to say is completely opposite, not politically correct. But it's a Bible doctrine. Our theme here at this church is Bible preaching. And one thing you're going to get at this church is Bible preaching. And I'm going to preach tonight on a subject that is nothing to joke around with. I'm going to have you turn to a couple of places in your Bible, and I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open tonight, because I'm going to have to show you a few of these things to make you really believe they're even in the Bible. But tonight, I'm going to preach on demonic spirits, seducing spirits, and devils, little d, devils. That's your King James Bible word. The word demon is not in the King James Bible for a reason. Because the really old English definition of that word, it could be good or bad. So the King James got it right, devils. Devils. We say demons because that's the way, you know, people talk now. But the actual Bible word is possessed with devils. There's all kinds of crazy doctrines going around about demons and devils tonight. You hear them all the time on the preachers on TV. Demon oppression, demon obsession, demon possession. That ain't in the Bible. No such thing as that in the Bible. There's all kinds of talk about demons only messing with lost people, and that ain't in the Bible. If you think demons can't get a hold of Christians, you're not a very smart Bible student. I didn't say the devil could get your soul. He cannot get your soul. The demon cannot get your soul. It's sealed under the day of redemption. But the devil can definitely get a hold of a Christian's eyes, heart, fingers, thoughts, brain, feet, hands. Can I hear an amen? Yes, sir, he can. I can prove that in the Bible. They turned one old boy over to Satan, a saved man, for the destruction of his flesh. Now tonight, I want y'all to sit and listen to me, and I want you to get what I'm going to say. I've never done this, what I'm getting ready to do. It's dangerous, because you know, you say they speak of the devil and he'll show up. We don't want the devil in here tonight. He's here enough this morning. And I've pled the blood over this service tonight. I've fought the devil all day today. I'm not stupid. I know where it come from. And I'm going to show you some things tonight you may not know and try to help you. Two places. 1 Timothy chapter 4, first this evening. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll look at a verse of Scripture. And after I'm going to show you a second verse, I want you to keep them Bibles open, because we're going to dig in the Scripture tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 1. This is a sign of the last days. One of the signs that you know you are in the last days. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4,
Verse 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. In other words, He don't just say this casually. He's really saying this with emphasis. The Spirit speaketh expressly. I mean this. Pay attention. This is important. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Look what He said. That in the latter times, you know when that is? 2013. The day you're living in right now. Some shall depart from the faith. Brother, are we there or what? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Spirits. Seducing spirits. Every woman in here, look at that verse. Every man in here, look at that verse. You are susceptible to seducing spirits. Ladies, everything that pops in your head while you're sitting at home or church is not God talking to you. Men, everything that pops in your head that you think some great idea ain't necessarily God talking to you. Seducing spirits can put stuff in, come through, pop through, jump in, jump out, according to the Bible. Look here what it said they'll do. And doctrines of devils. Now in the Bible there's the devil and then there's devils. The devil is Satan, Lucifer, and then there's devils, demonic spirits, millions and millions and millions of them. We don't know how many, a third part fell. We don't know all their activities, but we know enough, and I'm going to show you some tonight. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me show you some doctrines of devils. Forbidding to marry. That's a Catholic doctrine where they forbid priests and nuns to marry. That's a doctrine of demons. Say amen right there. It is not biblical for people to forbid people to get married. Matter of fact, it's unbiblical. That's God's plan. It said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every wife have his own husband. Ain't that what He said? So it's demonic for the Catholic Church to forbid their priests for getting married or the nuns. And commanding to abstain from meats. The vegetarian movement is of a demon. It's not of God. When people tell you not to eat meat, they're led by the devil. I don't care if it's Dr. Oz, Smalls, Dawes, Cobb. I don't care who it is on TV that's got... Well, I don't care what kind of guests they've got on there. I don't care what kind of research they did. Listen, you know why God let fish come? You know why God let us catch fish? To eat. You know why would God make a chicken? What purpose does a chicken have except to... Why do you think they got fat legs? I mean, brother, listen. Yeah, it is a demonic doctrine to teach not eat meat. Have you ever seen these vegetarians, how puny they look? You know, somebody said, well, y'all, what you eat? I mean, wouldn't you rather be a big, strong bull than a piece of celery? Yes, sir. I sure would. It's a doctrine of demon. Well, I ain't got time to get into all of that. But anyway, let me show you a second chapter. Revelation chapter number 18. The book of Revelation chapter number 18. Now, we've already seen that there are demonic spirits. Demonic spirits in the Bible deceive people. Demonic spirits, seducing spirits, the Bible said. Now, Revelation chapter 18 is during the Great Tribulation. Everything that takes place from chapter 4, verse 1 on is after the rapture. The rapture occurs in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 where He says, come up hither. The church disappears in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 and is never heard of again. It's gone. The word church is mentioned many, many times in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And from chapter 4, verse 1, something happened to the church. The Lord said, come up hither. He's talking to John, a picture of the church. So we're in the middle of the great tribulation here, the end, in Revelation chapter 18. Look at Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Watch it. And is become the habitation of devils. That's demons. All these demons inhabit this city of Babylon. That city is identified in the verse before that, Revelation 17:18, as the city that reigned over the earth when Jesus was crucified. That's Rome. And a city that's set on seven hills, whose colors are purple and scarlet. The great whore of Revelation 17. Now look, it said, the habitation of devils, watch it, and the hold of every foul spirit
and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Bird. So birds in the Bible, birds, are a picture of demonic spirits. Now, there is a bird in the Bible that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, and that is what? The dove. You know that. A dove came down and is a picture. Everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit for. There's two birds mentioned in the right context of the Bible, the dove and the sparrow. God takes care of the sparrow, and you know, and so forth and so on. But those unclean, hateful birds are pictures of demonic spirits. They sure are. As a matter of fact, everything that you can see out there, there's something just like that you can't see. Everything that you can see out there, there's something like that you can't see. Let me show you another one. Look at, I'll get back to the birds in a minute. Look at Revelation 16. Some of you remember years ago, Alfred Hitchcock came out with that movie and he named it Birds. And you remember the old movie, The Birds, when birds just went up and took off. It was the scariest thing in the world. There's no doubt the devil led Alfred Hitchcock to produce those movies. Always, always in those demonic movies, there's this big black bird like a crow or a vulture that comes in the wind or thing, always circling around. Always, always a picture of a demonic spirit is a bird. Now, let me show you something else. Revelation 16, 13. This is during the tribulation. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, that's demonic spirits, like frogs. So frogs and all these ugly animals look just like... Why do you think when they draw demons, they make them look like frogs? Why do you think in the monster movies, when the monster comes out, it looks like a frog? It's a picture of an unclean spirit. And frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the devil the son, the devil the father, and the devil the unclean spirit. The Trinity, the satanic Trinity. For verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Just because somebody can work a miracle don't mean they're of God. Just because a miracle happens don't mean it's of God. That's how they deceive people into taking the mark of the beast in the tribulation. That the spirits of devils will deceive them. And because, look, they say, well, there's a miracle. It must be God. Not necessarily. Let me tell you something here tonight. If somebody can stand right here and call down fire from heaven, if they ain't walking according to that book, they are not of God. I don't care, brother, if they can turn this into bread. I don't care if they can take it right there and turn it into $100 bills and feed hungry children. If they don't go according to that book, they can go back to hell where they come from, as far as I'm concerned. Amen? You say, do you put that much emphasis on that book? Yes, sir. You mean to tell me if you saw a miracle and it was against that book, you'd believe it was of the devil? Yes, I do. We go by the book, not what we see or hear or think or feel. You say, well, Mama's been dead for years and Mama come in my room the other night and talked to me. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you get mad at me tonight, but your Mama did not come in your room and talk to you. That ain't scriptural. That wasn't Mama. That was somebody impersonating your Mama. Making you think, that stupid shows on there, when they get on there and they say, now listen, I see her. Yes, you up there in the green. I see something like a green dress. Yes, a green dress. Well, if you're so smart, buddy, why don't you just tell her grandma's name and her name and address and social security number if you're such a genius? Well, of course she got a green dress. Who ain't? And she said, yes! Grandma did have a green dress. You know, he's full of the devil, brother. And if he does know anything, the Holy Spirit ain't giving him that knowledge. Just getting started. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, look here. You know what the unclean spirits do? It said they work miracles. And look at it. Everybody look at it. Middle of verse 14. They go forth unto the kings of the earth. They go to big shots. Our president. Leaders, world leaders, the Illuminati, the real leaders we don't even see. The leaders we see on TV are simply the pawns carrying out the order of the real leaders. They some big shots, brother, running this country. They meet every now and then. What do you call them guys?
Bilderbergers, and them guys that meet ever so often, and brother, make decisions, raise the price of gas, drop the price of gas, control politics, everything. It said these demons gather the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them together to battle that great day of God Almighty. Now, you know what they do? These demon spirits go to the rulers of the world, and they gather them together against the Lord. I told you this morning, I rarely listen to Rush Limbaugh. Very rarely. I think Rush Limbaugh is a brilliant man. I don't think he's right with God. I don't even know if he's saved or nothing. I make no spiritual claim to him at all. But I wouldn't think he is a smart feller. Now, ain't nobody deny that. He's one of the three smartest I've ever heard talk. Him, Bill O'Reilly, and Dr. Ruckman. Ruckman's 40 miles ahead of either one of them. And as far as just brains are concerned, O'Reilly screwed up in the head about religion and abortion, and he's off on a lot, but he's smart. And Rush Limbaugh is one of the smartest men I ever heard talk. And I heard Rush on the radio the other day. I was driving, and the man's he's a genius. Honest to goodness, ain't no telling what his IQ is. And he's on there talking, and he's talking about these liberals. And he said, why do these liberals always agree? He said, this liberal over here, this no matter what issue, all this stuff that's been going on in the news this week, they automatically agree against the God and the Bible. Automatically. And you know what Russ said, preacher? He said, I believe it's psychological. He said, I believe the psychological. All these people have this certain mindset. He said, there's no explanation for all these liberal greed. And I said, and I'm saying, there is too an explanation. It's not psychological, brother. It's demonic. There is a spirit. There is a demonic spirit that makes all liberals think the same. When an issue comes up, they automatically think against God and against the Bible. Listen, you better watch your thoughts. If your thoughts are against the Bible, your thoughts ain't coming from God. Your thoughts are coming from a seducing spirit. They're not coming from God. Are you listening to me? You say, well, I'll tell you what, I know I'm right because I just feel like you. You better watch that junk. If it ain't according to this book, it ain't coming from God. Yeah, I will tell you something tonight. I got a long way to go, so might as well just sit there a while. I usually don't do this, and you listen to me. Daniel over there in the book of Daniel, he prayed. And the Bible said old Daniel prayed. He got down like this. He said, Lord, help me, God, help me, God, help me. And he prayed for 21 days. And after 21 days, the answer came down. And you know what God told him? God told him, he said, Daniel, the first day you prayed, I heard you. But he said, you couldn't get your answer for 21 days. And Daniel said, why? He said, the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, who is the prince of Persia? The Bible said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, preacher, I thought that meant governor. No, no, no. It's not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. It said spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's like this. There was something flying like this. And they've seen stuff flying like this, people have in Mexico. Like with a cape on them. Just like the witch on the broomstick. There's scripture for all that stuff. As you come around like this, and there's something over Daniel praying that's stopping his prayers up there in the air. The Bible said the devil is the prince of the power of the air. You tell me how they can put a satellite up yonder in outer space and it get all them channels and bring it into our TV, bring the whole world, computers, radio waves, TV waves. You tell me who figured that out. I'll tell you one thing, it ain't of God, the internet ain't of God. I guarantee you God didn't invent the internet. I guarantee you it's of the devil. You say, well, I can use it. I didn't say you couldn't. You can use anything for good. But I guarantee you one thing, brother. You start messing with them airwaves. You start messing. He's the prince of the power of the air, people. It's in the air. It's in the air. So Daniel's prayer got blocked. And his prayer got blocked. And he said, I ain't letting your prayer through. Your prayer's being stopped. So there's a demon spirit up there stopping Daniel's prayers. So you know what the Lord does? The Lord sends Michael down there to fight with him. So Michael leaves heaven and goes down there and goes, pow, get out of the way, pow, get up, pow, get out of the way, and knocks him out of the way, and Daniel's prayer gets through. That means there's a demon of Burke County over this county trying to stop us from getting through. You say, I don't feel no fight. You ought to walk in my shoes one week. Buddy, you people think I'll just get up here and preach? Y'all don't have a clue what kind of fight that I've been through just this week. It is a fight. It does not come easy. It comes with a price to pay. I'm telling you, somebody's fighting us. Somebody's fighting us. You don't come in here and enjoy the blessing of God and see people saved, the Spirit of God move. See, the Lord done sent somebody down here to knock him out of the way so we can have a blessing this morning. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why the bigger the city, the more wicked it gets. Some big old city like Charlotte. I hear people all the time, like this brother here. He said, man, you people got it made here. We live in the mountains of North Carolina. There's more Bible preaching. Old Ralph Sexton said, he said, you put a compass down on asphalt and draw a 150-mile circle. That takes you in Chattanooga, Knoxville, Winston-Salem, Greenville, South Carolina, 150-mile circle, and there's more preachers come out of that one spot than anywhere on planet Earth. That means we are living right smack dab on the buckle of the Bible Belt. And you know where the devil's concentrating? You know why he's against everything? You know why the South made fun of all the time on TV? You know why they hate the South? You know why? You know why the crazy people are moving to Asheville by the thousands? Because the devil is trying to stop what I'm doing here tonight. He's just about got all this world. He's just about got the churches dead. He's just about got all of them shut down. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we're in a battle for our lives and for our kids and for our kids' kids. There is spirits out there trying to stop us. All right. We've been visiting them many a time and talked to somebody and said, and you know, right now is the time to pray. If I got down here and pray, would you pray? And they look at you like, if I prayed with you right now, would you pray? And the phone will ring. Or somebody will knock on the door. You say, it's an accident. It can't be that many times. Can't be. You think there ain't a devil? Somebody said, oh, the devil ain't no little man. Something running around with horns and a pitchfork. Not so fast. Not so fast. Them old people aren't as dumb as some of you people think they are. They read the Bible all the time. You watch TV, I believe I'd trust them for it, would you? Bible said in Revelation chapter 13 that devil had horns. The devil does have horns. And he's got a pitchfork. You say, where is that? 1 Samuel 2:13. You say, I've never seen it. That's why you come into a good Bible-believing church. That priest come back there, they put that sacrifice in the hand, a fire, the pitcher of hell, and they done it with a pitchfork with three prongs on it. That's where your pitchfork comes from. That's a type of hell, that sacrifice being burned. So all that stuff ain't just folklore. All that stuff ain't just mythology. Now the devil transforms himself as an angel of light. I believe this. I believe that the devil can see a physical weakness and then takes advantage of it. Some of you still hunting, it's 1 Samuel 2:13. Now, you can come back and get the tape and get it later. 1 Samuel 2:13, we don't have time. Revelation 13 about the horns and the Antichrist and the real devil. He's a fire-breathing dragon, just like a real Chinese fire-breathing dragon. The real thing, brother, with seven heads, and if you saw him according to the book of Job, you would pass out. What he said. He said, I'd fall out like a dead man if you saw the real devil. I'd be careful how I talk to and about the devil if I was you. I've heard Christians say, I'll send that straight in the air. I look him. You better watch that kind of stuff. Buddy, I'm telling you, that Michael the archangel didn't bring against him a railing accusation. I'm telling you, you better say, God being my helper, fight the devil off of me. You ain't no match for the devil. I ain't no match for the devil. Listen, I'm going to talk about how you get devils in you. You say, can a Christian get a devil in them? Yes. Can they own you? No. Can they control you? Yes. I get my car sitting out there, my Toyota 4Runner. I can scoot over and let Jim drive. That don't mean he owns that car. I own it. It's mine. But I'm letting him drive it. And you can let the devil drive your life. And if you don't agree with that, it's because you ain't been taught right. If you don't think a Christian can let the devil drive his life, you need to read your Bible. You need to go to camp too. You need to pastor a while if you think the devil can't drive a Christian. You ain't, oh boy, I'm telling you what. You say, well, Brother Danny, how do they get in you? There's three ways. You know how you get a devil in you? You kick your brain in neutral. You get in a passive state of mind. You know how you get in a passive state of mind? Through rhythm. Then you know what they say? Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's the devil's three. All three of those things misused. There's a right use of drugs. There's a right use of sex. There is no right use of rock and roll. There is no such thing. And but brother, the right music is one of the biggest tools. Listen, music's one of the biggest tools God uses, and music's one of the biggest tools the devil uses. We had those kids going to camp, and you couldn't even talk to them. They had things stuck in this ear, things stuck in this ear, and you know what the thing is now? The boy sticks one in his ear, and the girl sticks one in her, and they're both sitting there like this right here. Totally filled with devils. Totally filled with they took the devil to camp with us. I know what I'm talking about. I'll show you before I get through tonight. Music is one of the best ways in the world to get the devil in you. I can demonstrate it. I can show it. I can start a song here tonight and change the whole atmosphere. Okay, listen, why do you think Brother Jason gets up here and leads us in a song? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit brings... You know what the Bible said? The Bible said back here in the Old Testament that when they played, the hand of the Lord come upon them. That means the right kind of music with the hand of the Lord will come on you, and the wrong kind of music, the devil will get in you. Every killer, all them Columbine, every one of them, listen to heart. You know what them boys in Columbine, their favorite rock group was a German band? And you know what their song says? You in the schoolyard, I'm ready to kill. Do you think that's an accident? They got their instructions from rock music. Because music kicks you in the neutral. Music gets where you say, there he comes. Jumped in you. You know what them rock singers said? They said, one night we was playing and something leapt into me. They said, I felt it. They said, when I go on stage, I get possessed. Just like a man of God gets in the pulpit and the Holy Ghost comes on him, when they stand to sing, the unclean spirits get a hold of them. Are you kids listening to me tonight? I ain't joking. I'm not playing around. When you listen to rap music, when you listen to rock music, when you listen to dirty music, unclean spirits go in your ears. You can sit there and rebel all you want to, but the day is going to come when you'll say that man was right. He tried to warn me, and I wouldn't listen to him. It'll make you do things you wouldn't normally do. And drugs even makes it 10,000 times worse. Because when you're on drugs, you're not capable of making the right decision. Charles Manson, when he killed all them people, you know what he's doing? He's listening to the Beatles, Helter Skelter. And he believed that the Beatles were the four angels in the book of Revelation that come out of the pit. That's his interpretation of the book of Revelation. That's why the Bible's a dangerous book for a man that ain't saved. Charles Manson believed that those four unclean spirits were John and the Beatles. And he said they told him there's going to be a revolution. Well, you know, we don't want to change the world. I remember listening to that when I was a kid. And brother, they did want one. They did want one. And they caused one. And the demons come in. I was telling somebody the other day, I remember, tell you how old I am, I remember when things begin to change. When I was a kid, my sisters used to listen to, I wish they all could be California. I wish they all... And you know what? That's bad, but that ain't really wicked. That ain't demonic. That's not satanic. They're just saying they thought every girl in California was beautiful. Well, I got news for you there. I've been to California several times, saw about 4 out of 10 million. They put them 4 on TV and make you think, I wish they all could be. North Carolina girls look better than what I've seen out there. I'm serious. They look like monsters. But anyway, my daughter, you know, my sister when I was little, this way, I'm going to the chapel and we're going to get married. I bet you ain't heard a song in 10 years
promoting getting married. I bet you ain't seen a sex scene on TV in 10 years that was really, you know, one of these heady, steamy scenes where the people was married. Bet you ain't. They ain't never married. The married people say, good night. Turn over like that. The devil don't want you to think married. He's making the world live like married people, and he's making the married people live like single people ought to live. He's making single people shack up, and he's making married people stay away from each other. He makes everything go backwards. He makes you do opposite of what you're supposed to do. Now just sit still a minute. I'm just getting going. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, these are demonic spirits. You know what? Bible said, I can prove what I'm saying. You can't. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You can't prove that. I can prove what I'm saying. How to prove it? Evil spirit came on Saul. And David come in and played. And it made that evil spirit depart. It didn't say sung. He didn't say a word. You say, well, all it matters is the words. You're crazy. You're crazy. I don't care if it's got Jesus all the way through it. The words and the music got to match. I don't know if I can play Great Balls of Fire or not. Can you, Jason? You shake my bones and you rattle my brain. Watch this. Jesus love me and yes I do. Jesus love me, Eddie, yes I do. Jesus love me, Eddie, yes I do. Jesus love me, Eddie, yes I do. Do you believe God's in that? That's a bunch of trash. Listen, that ain't, you say, well, all that matters is words. You're about lunatic, you know that? You know it's supposed to be a full moon tonight. And you know that Jesus used that word lunatic. You know what lunar means? There is something that's full moon stuff. I felt it last night. These people in prison stuff go crazy on full moon. They don't even know it. Lunatic. That's what the Bible says. Lunar. You know what they used to call crazy people? Moonstruck. That's right. Them old people wasn't crazy as we think they was. Old psychiatrists have proved. Yeah, psychiatrists have really proved a lot, ain't they? They proved they're crazy. I'm telling you, you better stick. I don't know about you, but I'm sticking with the old book. And all God's people said, thank you. David played. The wrong use, anytime you have, you know, I'm going to preach a sermon on fornication. Pretty soon. You know what fornication is? Fornication is any sexual activity between people that are not married to each other. Any. What about this? Yeah. But what about, yeah. But what you, yeah. The Bible definition of fornication, and you know what? I've heard people tell me with their mouth. They said, Brother Danny, when I was out there with my boyfriend, said it was just something magical happened. It was almost like somebody else showed up. Somebody else did show up. And it was a demon spirit. Because when you have sex with somebody and you ain't married, demons are all over you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't believe me. You say, now how in the world am I going to keep them off of me? I'll tell you a good way to keep demons off of you. One way to keep demons off of you is rejoice in the Lord. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. A happy Christian is a strong Christian. So a sad Christian is a weak Christian. If a person sits around all the time and is, poor me, this is the way you know you're full of the devil. If you sit around and like, poor me, I'm the victim. Everybody's mad at me. I'm pitiful. Nobody likes me. I have no friends. I just have no reason to live. You're full of the devil. You know what you ought to do? You ought to jump up and say, glory to God, my name's in the book of life. It's colder than hell outside. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
I can smile. You know, the devil hates it when we get in here and smile. He hates it. He hates Christians that are happy. He hates his church. He's tried to stop it ever since I started. Listen, he's thrown everything at me but the kitchen sink. There ain't no way I could even be here. It's impossible that I could keep going the way I go unless somebody bigger is taking care of me. And he's taking care of our church. I love him. Hallelujah. I'm glad to say God's still on the throne and he's bigger than the devil and he's stronger than ever demon that's ever been. Today when I was studying this, a voice said, ain't you scared to preach on this? Because I heard Charles Stanley got divorced right after he preached a series on this is what I'm doing. I said, can't get me there. You done everything but kill me. If you gonna do that, here I am. Kill me. Shoot me. Here I am. Hey, buddy. Listen, it's the Lord taking care of old Brother Danny. I ain't strong enough to make it. Lord have mercy, I'm about ready to take a running fit. I ain't strong enough to go by myself. I can't do it. I'm just a little old guy. But glory be to God, there's somebody up there tonight who reigns over heaven and earth that's got his hand on me and watching over me. And thank God he's taking care of me this evening. Well, jump up on this thing. Don't pictures, no pictures. Put them things up. They say he went crazy and had a spasm in the pulpit. The way to get rid of demons is be happy. You know what? Who was it though? Who was the guy that said, I think myself happy? Job? Samuel? David? I think myself happy. That's what you got to do. You got to think yourself happy. I mean, you got to work at it. Think of all you've got to be thankful for. Think you're not going to hell. Your name's in the book of life. Demons can't stand people that are happy. They want you to feel low and depressed. Listen, if you're depressed, the last thing on God's earth you need is antidepressant medicine. You need the joy of the Lord. I ain't never took none. I don't even know what it does to you, but from the people I've seen, it don't work. Listen, brother, you need the joy of the Lord. You need to shout, say hallelujah. Spend you about a day or two in that book. It's a lot cheaper too. Amen. And there's no side effects. And I'm telling you, brother, just rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Let me tell you another way to keep demons out of you. Work. Everybody ought to work. Everybody ought to work. For all you people, you say, well, I can't find a job. You mean that you get paid for. Ain't nothing stopping you from working, you lazy thing. You lazy bum. You ought to get up and go to work. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know people, grown people, lay in the bed till 11 and 12 and 1 o'clock and then watch TV for 3 or 4 hours and then eat again and then eat again and they wonder why they can't go to sleep at night. I'm telling you, God said, work. I've been around a lot of people. And I've not seen hardly anybody that's demon-possessed that works hard every day. If a man would get up and go to work every day, you say, I ain't got a job. Listen, anybody in here need any work done around your house? Raise your hand. All right? There's about 4 jobs. You don't have to get paid for it. Work! Even if you don't get paid. Amen? Listen, it's good for you. Come on now. I don't like to get up at 6 o'clock. Now, I mean, Friday night I mowed grass till it got dark and I got my weed eater and there's snakes out in my yard and I was out there and I was sweat dripping off me but you know what? I felt better after I did that. You feel better if you'll work. God made you to work. You don't have to get paid. You say, well, I don't have a job. Go work anyway. God might give you one. You'll get demon-possessed laying around on the couch. You know what I think? You know what I think wrong with America? I think people laying around on the couch with nothing to do. I really believe this. I think there's too many people with nothing to do laying on the couch and eating and washing themselves, keeping themselves clean, boys staying clean, that it's turned them homosexual. The Bible said that the sin of sodomy was pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Sitting around with nothing to do and plenty to eat, make a queer out of you. I didn't write it. I just preach it. I might be on the news by tomorrow morning. If I am, I am, brother. If the truth will stand when the world's on fire, it'll do it. You know what's wrong with our generation? These little boys in California, they're too clean, man. They're too clean. Boys don't get manicures. Are you listening to me? Well, I've had them girls say, "Brother Danny, you need a manicure." I said, "You're crazy. I'm a boy. I can cut my own fingernails. I can cut my own toenails. And I don't want you messing with them." Boys' fingernails ain't supposed to look like girls. Boys ain't supposed to look like girls. Boys ain't supposed to walk like a girl. I don't even know how to do it. Boys ain't supposed to. Brother, that's the wrong spirit. You know how? The lazier you get, the lazier you get. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to tell you. The lazier you get, the lazier you get. The more you lay around, the more you won't lay around. Have you ever met these people? We got like Max. Y'all know Max? You ever met these people that's 70 years old and been retired 15 years and still works every day? And you say, why do they work every day? They don't need no money. They've trained their body all their life to work. They don't even feel right if they don't work. We got a generation that are training their body to do nothing but lay around. Now, if you're not able, that's one thing. If you can't do nothing but walk around this church building 3 or 4 times, get up and do it. Move. You say, I can't do that. You can do that, can't you? I mean, do something for heaven's sake. Run your jaws, brother. Get on the phone. Call everybody in the phone book. I mean, do anything but lay around. Start you a job tomorrow morning. Go down your street and say, I'll mow your grass for nothing. Keep demons out of you. I ain't never got full of the devil when I was out working hard. You know when I got full of the devil? Sitting around doing nothing. Say amen right there. Work. Oh Lord, I got to hurry here. Ladies, when your husband comes home and you just suddenly get mad for no reason, and there ain't even no reason to, and you go off on him, them hormones from hell is what that is. You see the devil coming out of you. And then later you say, I don't know what got a hold of me. I do. I know what got a hold of you. You've been sitting there watching as the stomach turns all day. You've been sitting there letting you've been watching them desperate whore wives all day long. And brother, it's got in your thinking and got in your then you jump down your husband's throat. You say, I don't know why I'm mad at him. I'm just mad at him. Hate him. You said, why don't you preach to the men? You're doing exactly what I just got through saying. Yeah. Men get selfish. Men get full of the devil. Men smart off, bite their wife's head off, and then they get mad because they won't give them no sugar when they want it. They're full of the devil is what's wrong with you. Bible said, love her like Christ loved the church. You want her to be nice to you, be nice to her. The old grouch, I wouldn't. Lord, I know I wouldn't. But if I was her, I wouldn't. I feel sorry for women. Look what they got to like. Lord, help. Bunch of old stinking, sweaty, hairy-legged, egotistical, selfish men. That's all they are. Eh? Bless their heart. Easy here. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. The other day, I got a phone call. Listen carefully. At camp, a man and his wife, good man. This man's not a wild-eyed, fanatical, crazy, you know, weird kind of church. He's an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christian who's not out on a limb somewhere. He's a very sane man. Don't make up stuff. Quiet, easygoing. His wife is at camp. He said,
his brother, they called me. Tuesday night, the Holy Ghost fell over to camp. And it was great Monday night, Brother Jason. You remember when Brandon preached that sermon? And then Tuesday night, I'm telling you folks, that's one of the best services I've been in ages, that Tuesday night at the camp. Those kids shouted, we praised God. He said they went back to their room and him and his wife got in the awfulest fight. He said we was screaming at each other. We was fussing. He said we don't even know what we was. He said it was awful. And he said we don't do that. And he said we got down and prayed. And he said I saw a black, like a cloud, like a mist come in, out of our room and go out. And he said the smell in our room was like sulfur, like rotten eggs. That's what he said. This man never heard me preach on UFOs. He's never heard none of our sermons. He's never heard none of that stuff on demon possession. Never even heard it. And he said there was an awful smell in our room. And he said, I believe whatever that was come out of me. I'm just telling you what the man said. And he said, me and her kissed and made up. You say, you believe that, preacher? I don't know, but I do know, I do believe that happens. I believe a devil gets in you, and that's what makes you and your husband fight, and you and your wife fight, makes you act wrong and flirt with every girl at work, or flirt with men at work, and try to lead a double life and keep three or four on the side. And all, that's a devil that makes you do that. It's a demonic spirit. It's a spirit that's in you. And you can feel him talking to you. You say you believe that, preacher? Well, I got a friend in Florence, South Carolina. He's never met that man. That man's never met him. And he told me, he said, Danny, my wife, beautiful lady, it was 25 years ago, beautiful lady. His wife looked like Cindy Crawford. Y'all remember Cindy Crawford? Looked just like her. And he said, before she got saved, she is demon possessed. And he said, when them demons went out of her, when she got saved, and she said, we're laying in the bed at night, and they'll come back in our room. And said, those demons will come in our room and say, we're going to get you. And I said, did you see anything? He said, no. He said, she said she could see them. He said, I never seen nothing. But he said, I could smell it. He said, there was an awful smell 25 years ago. He said, it was like sulfur. You know where sulfur's at, people? It's down there in brimstone. And he said one night, they was laying in the bed, and he said, them spirits come in their room and said, we're going to get you. And they said, no, you're not. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. You can't have us. And he said, them spirits said, we'll get you kids. And the kids was in the sleep in the living room floor, and they jumped out of the bed and running there, and they said their kids was just jerking and flopping around in the floor all over the place. And they got down there and pled the blood over them until that spirit left. That's what he told me. He's not crazy. He's a Baptist. He's not out of his mind. He told me that. He's a good friend of mine. He's just a year or so younger than me. That man, he's just as straight. Y'all, Carrie knows him. They know him. Straight as a stick. And I've got videos of a man saying that when one of them UFO landed in his yard, he said these little things were in their yard. He said the dog went crazy. And they said they smelled sulfur all over their backyard. And then that thing disappeared. Same smell. Same smell. There's two girls from another state said at camp, same thing. They saw something. You know Ozzy saw big black shape with eyes of fire like I preach on the rock music program? That's real. Ozzy Osbourne said we saw a big black shape with eyes of fire telling people their desire. Satan sitting there, he's smiling, watching those flames grow higher and higher. And Black Sabbath was doing a recording, and they said this big black shape come in their room, and Ozzy's singing about it. I got it on my rock music presentation. All them people don't even know each other. Miss Kerr, let me tell you something. If there's anybody in the world I believe, tell me the truth, it's Miss Kerr. She said, Brother Danny, She said, I don't tell many people this, but we was in a little country church up in the mountains. She said there was a woman there that night they believed was demon-possessed. They got her down in the altar, and they prayed, and they pled the blood of Jesus. And they said that woman just let it all out. And she said something just left her. And all them people must have been right with God. She said a dog come out of the street and run in that church and right down to that altar and took and then went flying out the door like that. And that spirit left with it. That means, you say, Brother Danny, is that scriptural? It sure is. When Jesus cast them demons out of that man, you know where they went? Into them hogs. I'm in the book. Might be hard for some of y'all to swallow, but it's Bible. The first choice is a human being. Second choice is an animal. And them hogs went down there and jumped off in that lake and committed hogicide. First case in the Bible, a devil ham. I'm going to tell you something. You listening? Some of you teenagers sitting in here tonight has got something in you so nasty it'd make a hog kill himself. Rap music is so nasty that that demon spirit would make a hog commit suicide. And I'm going to tell you what I told you before. You will not listen to dirty music and stay right with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are, how mature you are, how much scripture you know. You will not consistently listen to dirty music on purpose and stay right with God. It can't be done. Because you're the wrong spirits going in you. I remember when I first got saved, I listened to music, and it wasn't nothing like it is now. I mean, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't like it is now. And I'd go in church and I'd get full of God and I'd be so happy, and it'd be like my balloon was pumped up. And I'd go out and I'd stick that tape in my car and it'd go shh. It just lets that spirit right out of you. Drains you spiritually. Tonight, I'm not giving the devil any glory. Full moon tonight, man. That's why I'm dogs, werewolves, vampires, walking dead, zombies. All this stuff's getting us ready for the tribulation. We're living in a day of demonic spirits, people. Stay right with God. Read your Bible every day. You know how to get rid of them? Put on some good Christian music. In the Bible, it run them off. It run them off. Man, I turned my radio on 780 and some of them old-time singers like we have. Why do you think we have that music playing before you come in here? Get them things out of here. You say, they in here? Yeah, you brought them. I might have brought one. They'll jump on you, man, like a... That's right, like a flea. One man had 2,000 in him. One man had 2,000 in him, enough for 2,000 pigs. That's why I call them flies, like the size of a fly, can get that like a spirit. Lord of filth, that's Beelzebub, Lord of the flies, that's what Beelzebub means. Man, I know, I'm. Some of y'all going to get this tape and listen to it about 5 times and study it. I'm telling you tonight, let's plead the blood. Let's plead the blood. Jason, come on. Girls, come back up here and I'll sing that song about the blood tonight. And we're going to plead the blood. You say, I ain't never in my life heard such. Well, you have now. First time for everything. Let's stand.